Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into NHSCA Sports Hour. This show airs every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about the show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/nhsca.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now on to the program.
Good evening, high school sports fans, and welcome to the NHSCA Sports Hour for December the 15th. I am Jeff Fisher, founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America, settling in for 2 hours worth of high school sports talk here on the Artist First Radio Network tonight. After we wrap up here with the NHSCA Sports Hour, we roll right into High School Football America. All high school football talk at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock Eastern Time as we close out the 2011 season as we hand out championship trophies in California, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Want to let you know the guest on tonight's show will be Byron Jensen. We're going to spend a lot of time with Byron, and he's been on the show before. He's a partner here with us here at the NHSCA and High School Football America. Byron is in charge of the awards, the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards. The High School Rudy Awards have been, this will be the third year for them. They hand out $25,000 in scholarship money, and this will be the first year for the Inspirium Soccer Awards with $25,000 up for grabs as well. You can go to highschoolrudyawards.com and also inspiriumsoccerawards.com to learn more. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about the 12 finalists in each award category, and we're going to talk about each one individually. And these stories are just really, really incredible. If you're having a bad day, stick around for this interview because these kids, these student athletes are doing wonderful things. It's not about the top quarterback or the top scorer in soccer. These are kids that are doing things on the field, on the court, but also in the classroom and in their community. So it's really, really great. Want to remind everyone that you can vote for the GTM Sportswear NHSCA Athlete of the Month. Go to nhsca.com. We want to thank our sponsors tonight, Cross Country Nation, xcnation.com, Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, MetLife, Dollemure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. And speaking of GTM Sportswear, we want to congratulate Ben Whitford. He was at Marbion Academy last year in Illinois. He is now transferred back to his home state of Michigan. This year, the junior will wrestle for St. John's High School in St. John's, Michigan, but he has been named the inaugural GTM Sportswear High School Athlete of the Year for the 2010-2011 school year. Whitford was eligible for this award after being named the GTM Sportswear Athlete of the Month in January in 2011. At the time, Ben, as I said, was at Marmion Academy in Aurora, Illinois. He was the ringleader of Marmion's rise to national wrestling prominence last year. He led the cadets to a fourth-place finish in the ASICS Walsh Ironman Invitational in Ohio, winning the 130-pound title with two first-period pins. And he has just had an incredible career. He won the Illinois Class 2A State Championship at 119 pounds as a freshman. He was 44-0 that year. And then last year as a sophomore, at 130 pounds, he won another state championship. He was 44-1 last year. So his record in 2 years of wrestling at the high school level is an amazing 85-1. He just announced that he will continue his career, although he has two more years of high school left. He will attend the University of Michigan to continue his wrestling success. So congratulations to Ben Whitford of Marmion Academy in Illinois. Again, now he's with St. John's High School in Michigan, but he is the GTM Sportswear High School Athlete of the Year for 2010-2011. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards. This is fun. He's also going to talk about the Inspirium Soccer Awards, 24 great stories about 24 incredible student athletes. You're listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top-secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines, made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life. You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World. The United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Welcome back to the National High School Coaches Association Sports Hour tonight, and going to talk about the awards that we've been talking about all season long, the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards. We're down to the 12 finalists in each category, and Byron Jensen, who's been here throughout the season, is joining us tonight to kind of talk about these big old dozens in each sport. So welcome to the show, Byron.
It's great to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just so much fun to see where you are right now with these finalists, down to the top 12 in each sport, and reading all of their bios and all that and getting to know them. So let's kind of, for the people that haven't heard you on the show before, just kind of break it down a little bit. You know, what are the High School Rudy Awards and what are the Inspirium Soccer Awards? And then we'll get into the kids that are the finalists.
Sure. Well, now here we are in our third year for the High School Football Rudy Awards, as you mentioned, and the premise is quite simple. Find those players with the biggest hearts, not necessarily the best stats. And we launched this award specifically kind of the first part of September, mid-September, and from almost 350, 375 nominations from across the country, we announced our top 12 finalists for this year's award and couldn't be happier and more proud of these young men and one young lady who has done an unbelievable job this year inspiring their teammates and their community. And as you mentioned also, the Inspirium Soccer Awards, this is our first year for the award. It's a similar premise as the football awards in terms of trying to find young men and women that are doing inspirational things, but on the soccer field. And we announced our top 12 finalists for that award yesterday or the day before and couldn't be happier with the 12 that are there as well. And I think the one thing that kind of brings both of these awards together is just the simple fact of doing inspiring things, young athletes, young people that are overcoming odds, and we couldn't be happier to be a part of this and to help share their stories with America.
Yeah, and it's been fun to partner with you on this because these stories are the ones that need to be told. I think nowadays there's too much negative in media, and you guys have really done a nice job of digging down and finding these kids. There is scholarship money involved with that, so let's talk about that, and then we'll get into your selection committee, and then we'll get into the boys. But let's start with exactly what's up for grabs on both sides of the coin.
Sure. Well, in years past, in the last 2 years that we did the High School Football Rudy Awards, we only really honored the winners and the runners-up. And as we thought about this at the end of last year's campaign, we said to ourselves, you know what, we should really do something for all 12 finalists. So we made a change this year. And for both awards, the football and the soccer, all 12 finalists will be receiving some form of scholarship money. $25,000 is awarded in total for the individuals in both the football and the soccer awards, and we couldn't be happier and just proud of the fact that, yeah, we're going to have to name somebody a winner, and that individual is going to get a $7,500 academic scholarship to a college or university of their choice, which is great. But we're also very happy to be able to help out 12 very worthy recipients.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about you know, where we started and where we are. We're down to the 12 finalists, so you got lots of nominations this year. And how did you pare this down? Let's talk a little bit about the selection committee and what their job is going forward with these 12 finalists at this point.
Sure. Well, we took the pool of nominees, and like I said earlier, with football, it was almost 375 nominees, and with soccer, close to about 250, 275. And our internal staff here ended up editing and kind of getting down to that list where we got to the point where we had our semifinalists, and then we got it down to a point where we had our 12 finalists. And thankfully, Jeff, we are no longer in the process. We have a tremendous selection committee that we've put forth for both the football and the soccer awards, and those individuals respectively will be casting their votes for who they think are the most inspirational football and soccer players in the country.
Talking with Byron Jensen tonight on the NHSCA Sports Hour, talking about the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards. And let's not just leave it out as a tease there. You've got some major names on this selection committee, so let's tell the listeners just a few on each side that makes this really, really special.
Absolutely. Well, for the football side, thankfully, we have a guy here that's had a pretty good NFL career that lives here in Bend. Drew Bledsoe is our chairman for the football awards. And Drew was kind enough to help us add a couple of people this year to our selection committee that we're very proud of, Teddy Bruschi and Troy Aitman, who I'm sure a lot of people know of. And having said that, there are people that have been with us since year one. Andrea Kramer, as an example. She's just been absolutely fantastic in helping us get the word out. Sean Alexander, just another guy that's been great. And on the soccer side, we in our first year, we couldn't be more proud of the people that we've been able to assemble, led by our selection committee chairman, Steve Sampson, who used to be the head coach, or I guess he's a manager, if you will, on the soccer field or on the pitch there, Jeff, but for the LA Galaxy and the U.S. Men's National Team. And April Heinrichs, well known with U.S. Soccer for Women, Jurgen Klinsmann, Andres Cantor, a tremendous and well-respected voice in the world of soccer. So, like you said, just a great group of people that are going to be very, very inspired. And a lot of them, this being their first year, aren't probably going to be able to read a lot of stories like this, but I'm really excited to see how this turns out.
Absolutely. Let's dive into the 12 finalists for the boys in football. And, I'm not, we're going to go alphabetically here, but you got a couple of Andersons.
Sure.
Anderson is a common name, but you got two pretty special Andersons. One of them, Ryan Anderson from Kent, Ohio, who I've talked to on the High School Football America radio show and his battle with cancer. And then there's Quentin Anderson out of Joplin, Missouri, who is dealing with some very tough circumstances from the tornadoes there in Joplin. So let's start with those two young men first and share a little bit of their story with our listeners.
Sure. Well, you mentioned their last name, Anderson, and ended up being a normal name. Well, there's nothing normal about these two young men. I can assure you of that. You mentioned Quentin and what happened back in May in Joplin and his hometown, and just a heartfelt story, and was unfortunately, not only the town of Joplin, but his family, his immediate family, decimated. Both parents lost in the tornado, and how this young man continues to fight and battle and be an inspiration of those around him is extremely impressive. And Ryan Anderson, I mean, this poor kid was going to be, I guess maybe he's not a poor kid. Maybe that's our perception, right, Jeff? Is this kid's taking this thing on full steam, but he was a top lineman prospect in the country. Probably could have, well, he had his choices of a full ride scholarship to play college football at the Division I level. And I know he was excited about doing that and wasn't unfortunately diagnosed with a rare type of knee cancer. And is currently going through chemo as we speak, and yet he's the inspiration for his teammates and his classmates and his coaches is don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to beat this thing.
Yep.
And that's the unique mentality about there's a couple of other kids that we'll talk about here hopefully shortly, that is their mentality. It's not, woe is me, it's I'm going to beat this, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, it brings tears to your eyes. And when I had Ryan Anderson on the radio show, he literally had been rushed to the hospital for a blood transfusion. And he was, to be honest with you, I felt bad about having him on the show because I thought I was being an inconvenience as he was trying to convalesce. And he didn't make me feel that way at all. He just wanted everybody to know that, yes, this is a tough thing, but young men and women out there are doing extraordinary things. And he wants everybody to know that, that's what it comes down to, that there's a lot of life to live, and it was a good story. We'll try to get to all of them as we can here, and I should remind the listeners that you can go to highschoolrudyawards.com and click on it. You'll see the bios and inspirational videos from all of these young men, and as you said, women, so that's probably a good little transition here to go to Panama, New York, and talk about Andrea Marsh, and she's the only girl on the Football High School Rudy Awards finalist side.
She is, and only our second nominee in 2 years. And I tell you, when I distinctly remember sitting here in our office when her story came across from her coach, nominated her, and just talked about her just being a football player, and, oh, by the way, she's female. And just how she carries herself, team captain, what she's doing on the field. And I think know, I think one of the differences between Andrea this year and one of our female nominee from last year is that both doing incredible things, we all know, playing in a male-dominated sport. But Andrea's a little bit different in that she's out there playing defensive back, getting interceptions, and just really doing a job out there on the field. And her story and her dedication to her sport in all of her sports that she plays, actually not just football, is impressive, and couldn't be happier that she's a part of it.
And let's so we don't let anybody out here, I'm just going to kind of go down alphabetically the remaining names on the list. We've done three, so we'll do nine, and just kind of get some initial thoughts from you on each one of these. We'll first start with Shane Halpin from Gulf Breeze, Florida.
Yeah, Shane's a great kid, and you know, having watched as much sport as I do, I just continue to be impressed by this young man. 5'5", 5'6", and he's the starting center on his high school football team, and going against, as you can imagine, some guys that are a lot bigger and a lot stronger than he is, and just love his dedication and his commitment.
And next up, again, we're going alphabetically here, speaking with Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards, and we'll get to soccer in a bit. Rashawn King from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah, Rashawn's had a very interesting story in diagnosed with leukemia and being able to battle it, and currently going through chemo similar to Ryan Anderson, and being able to come back and play. And just on an interesting side note, once we announced our finalists a couple days ago here, Jeff, there have been some communications, and we're trying to put together Rashawn King and another one of our finalists, Addison Marshall. He was the interesting thing is they've kind of gone online and read the other guy's story, and they seem to, there's just a lot of similarities between what Rashawn has gone through and what Addison has gone through, and we're trying to figure out a way to get them together to meet, because they just have such compelling stories. It's a pretty neat thing.
Wow, and I don't want to get off target here, and since you talked about both of them, let me just get a personal note from you on this, because you're right, when you read this, you can't help but feel the emotion. As a person, obviously this is very close to you, you're part of the organization and all that, but from a personal note, what have you gained out of being involved with these young men and young women over the last couple of years?
Well, for me, a lot of it is perspective, to be quite honest with you. I mean, Rashawn King is a great example. Addison Marshall is another great example. Matt Reniker, I mean, a young man that at 14 was faced with a tough decision that I'm not sure I could do with at this age of 41. For me personally, it's about perspective and what these kids have had to battle, continue to have to battle later on in life. I mean, unfortunately, we see a short snippet, 3 to 4 months, of what they've had to go through and try and get an idea of what their lives are like. But this is, you know, the reality is that when the awards are over, their lives continue, we move on, and they're still going to be battling some of these things. And so I think that's, for me, is the one thing, that if I'm having a little bit of a rough day, being able to come in here and look at these kids and read their stories, it puts it in perspective for me, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Oh, absolutely. Going through the High School Rudy Awards, 12 finalists right now with Byron Jensen. One young man that kind of caught my eye from Oklahoma, from Afton, Oklahoma, is Caleb Mackey, who not only a straight-A student but dealing with some big hurdles, but still can find his way out into a football field.
You're absolutely right, and unfortunately his story was told at a very young age, or was brought to light at a very young age, when he unfortunately had experienced seizures, and you know, I think the result, or the end result of that was some cerebral palsy, and he battles it today, to this day. I mean, there's a video of him watching and out there on the field and kind of just watching him in his normal everyday life, and you're absolutely right. This is something that he is going to be dealing with the rest of his life, and it doesn't stop him. He's out there with his teammates. He's doing everything that's asked of him, and I think that is the, you know, you asked earlier about what is it about these kids. Well, Caleb Mackey is a great example. I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm not going to let this beat me. This cerebral palsy thing is yeah, it's tough, but I'm still going to continue on. And Caleb's a great example of that inspiration.
Taylor McKnight from Canyon Country, California.
Yeah, a great kid. Had some when he was a very young age, had some cranial surgeries where the brain wasn't forming together, the cranium wasn't forming together, and just, you know, have that rough time with as a young kid, and kind of the look and the defect and some issues developmentally, and yet another person like Caleb that just said, you know what, forget that. I'm not going to let this deter me from doing what I want to do. And he's out there and being a huge impact for him and his teammates and his school.
In Florida, Dasmond Patterson, a kid that inspirational story, great GPA, and he's also a real good football player too. So let's hear a little bit about Dasmond.
Yeah, Dasmond is our other nominee from Florida, along with Shane Halpin, and he's from what I can understand is a pretty good player. That's absolutely right, and he's got a family life that is impressive. Comes from just a great background and a great upbringing. Mom is very involved in his background and getting him to be the young man that he is today. And I think, you know, Dasmond is a great example for a lot of young people out there that maybe come from a broken home or something like that, and how you can still be successful and, like you said, a great GPA and not relying on his circumstances and going out there and taking it and doing something with this situation. I think it's very impressive.
Yeah, 4.8 GPA and heading on to the MAC to Ohio University. Matt Reniker from Lexenburg, Iowa.
Well, and I alluded a little bit to Matt's situation earlier. Matt lives on a farm and was out doing some work on the farm and unfortunately got in an accident where got his leg pinned or in something to the effect while he was riding his ATV, and the doctors got rushed to the hospital, and the doctors ultimately and eventually said, Matt, we've got to make a decision here. You have to make a decision about whether or not you're going to keep your leg. There's some issues with it. And Matt, at age 14, said, you know what, Doc, I'm at peace with this. I think we have to amputate it. And sure enough, did and plays with a prosthetic. And just again, just at 14 years old, the wherewithal of this young man to be okay with that and to not feel down or sad or anything like that, and said, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. And sure enough, he's doing it.
Yeah, it reminds me of your winner last year, Chance Anthony, who out of Kentucky, two-way starter, born without the lower part of his right arm, and was a wide receiver, yes, with 1.5 arms, could bench more than anybody on the team. It's that a sort of thing. And, oh, by the way, he wants to be in law enforcement to follow his dad. So good stories like that. Now, probably if I had a little bit better command of the Spanish language, I could make this name and where he's from sound really, really sexy. But we're going to go with Juan Diego Temple, and it may be Tempel, I'm not sure, from San Juan Capistrano in California.
Well, actually, you did that pretty well. It is Juan Diego. JD, as he's affectionately known. Yep, he's a great kid. It's just a fantastic young man. Unfortunately, lost his father a couple of years ago, and like a lot of people, could have gone into a hole and just not been that shining light like he is right now. But decided to not be. I guess depressed and not happy with the situation and went the exact opposite way and is the leader in his family and a leader in his community and a leader at the school. And just a great kid. Just, you know, his video is a little bit different than others, but just kind of, I think, really paints the light on what kind of special young man he is.
And then last but not least, Andrew Thomas from my hometown, or hometown state, I should say, of Pennsylvania, from Chads Ford, Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about Andrew.
Well, I think Andrew's story is probably a little bit, unfortunately, reminiscent of what a lot of people have had to go through the last couple of years here in our country with a father that was out of work, a mom that was having some health problems, and Andrew deciding to, well, not deciding, but maybe out of necessity, saying, you know what, I need to step up and help out my family, and starting his own lawn care business to help the family and meet the needs. And just a really unique story, just kind of different from everybody else that's out there, but just took it upon himself. And again, here we are talking about a senior, a high school age person, 17, 18 year old person that has that within them to say, you know what, I'm going to do something more. It's not about me. I need to do something for everybody else, and that's Andrew Thomas. What an incredible kid.
Yeah, there's a theme that's pulled through all 12 of those finalists. Again, go to highschoolrudyawards.com. We're talking with Byron Jensen tonight of the High School Rudy Awards and Inspirium Soccer Awards. We're taking a little bit extra time tonight because we want to get all of these kids their just due, so we're going to go from the football field to the soccer pitch now. You've got 12 finalists there. Again, it's the first year that you've gone through these, so again, we'll go through alphabetically. I know we're keeping you a little bit longer, but I know you love your job doing this. So let's start with Umberto Alvarez from your neck of the woods up there in Medford, Oregon.
That's right. And Jeff, you can keep me as long as you want. I love talking about these kids. And this one especially, this is a great one to lead off with. Here's this kid, senior year, going into what is arguably everybody's, you know, best year of life, going into their senior year in high school. And this kid's a stud soccer player. And his younger brother has a bone disease, he needs to donate his bone marrow to his younger brother who has lymphoma to be able to live. And he says, you know what, for a lot of people, maybe that's an easy decision. Humberto made the decision that he was going to basically give up his senior year to donate his bone marrow to his younger brother. And I think that is just incredible to me. That is just fantastic.
I don't wish to be a part of the committee that has to figure out these kids down the stretch.
No, Steve Sampson and Andres Cantor, they got their hands full. There's no doubt.
Let's go to Eric Arsenault from Lake Worth, Florida.
Yeah, Eric is a young man that has played years and years and years and years of soccer for AYSO, and at age 12 was diagnosed with a tumor on his spine that actually, as you can imagine, requires surgeries. And so he went from not being able to walk, confined to a wheelchair, putting in metal rods in his back to help support the spine after the surgery, and he battled and fought, and just like a lot of the kids on the football side, just said, you know what, I'm not going to let this deter me from doing what I want to do. Soccer was just running so much through him that he did his rehab and did his workouts and did all of these things to be able to make it out there, and he did.
Again, listeners, you can go to InspiriumSoccerAwards.com to not only learn more about these guys but see some videos. And we're going to talk about the girls, too, because it's split equally, and we're going to get to the first one in a second. But before we get to Becca Lidvall, we're going to talk about Michael Cooper from Blackwood, New Jersey.
Yeah, Michael Cooper's got a very interesting situation. He was diagnosed and battles what's called Crohn's disease, which is just something that makes you just feel sick and tired and you don't want to do anything. And as you can imagine, soccer is not a sport where if you don't feel like doing anything, you're probably in the wrong sport as much as you're running on in that game. But that is the one thing that I think is just incredible to me, that what this disease does to your body, and then how he doesn't let that stop him. And unfortunately, in his family situation, has a couple of young brothers or a couple of brothers that are autistic. And it's not only for Michael's situation, what he's got to endure personally, but it's also what he has to do and what he is doing for his brothers and for the organizations and places like that and there in Blackwood and helping him out. It's just a very unique situation for him. Couldn't be happier he's a part of it.
And we've got our first female one as we go alphabetically here. And I guess I should ask the question before we get into Becca Lidvall, which is with 6 and 6 finalists, male, female, was that on purpose or is that just kind of how it came out?
That was absolute luck of the draw, and I kid you not when I say that. Obviously, with opening up soccer, we were hopeful that because of the male-female breakdown in terms of the country and those that are both playing soccer, we were hopeful that it would be close to this kind of number in terms of being 50-50, but it was blind luck, absolute blind luck. And, you know, having done this for a couple of years now, there's no doubt about it that the weight of these stories, and not only what they do on the field but off the field, rises to the top. And Becca's a great example here in what she's had to endure with her family, her father unfortunately suffering a stroke last year, and just kind of being that driving force and that individual that keeps everybody together. And she does a number of things through an outreach program that she has through the sport of soccer. So just a really unique individual, and Becca's got as good a shot as anybody. That's all I can say. I mean, it's up to the selection committee, thankfully, again.
Yeah, let's go to Lauren Luke now from the state of Washington.
Yeah, Lauren, I think, and again, not to put one over the other, but for some reason, Lauren's story kind of resonated with me a lot in what she's had to go through in her short amount of time in this world in terms of, not being with her biological parents, having to go through 5 foster homes before the age of 5, and then ultimately and eventually being adopted by the Luke family, and how much that influence has meant to her and that calming influence has meant to her. And then what she's doing with that is just another person, another example, and we get so many of them. But just, you know, here you are as a young lady at age 5 or 6 and having to battle all these things of the uncertainty and the instability, and yet here she is. She's turned out the way that she has. It's a credit to her. It's a credit to the Luke family and what they've done. She's awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned how some things just hop out or resonate a little bit more. Plenty of heart disease, unfortunately, in my family. And Brock Marvin from Elizabethtown, New York, massive heart attack just 3 years ago. I mean, wow. Tell me a little bit more about beyond that, because I think that sums it up right there.
Well, you're absolutely right. It does sum it up. I mean, here's this kid that's been playing soccer his whole life, and you know, back in 2008, he suffers a massive heart attack, finds out that he's got his heart is pumping at 7% capacity, gets put on a heart transplant list, and then 2 years later actually does get a new heart, gets the transplant, and then is back out there doing it again with for his team and back up there in New York. And I think that's, one, it's just kind of rare. You just don't really hear about a young man or a young woman who at that age, probably Brock was, you know, 13, 14, somewhere around there, suffering such a massive heart attack. So just a very unique and very rare story. There's no doubt that it happens, but you sure don't hear about it a whole lot.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Byron Jensen tonight of the High School Rudy Awards and Inspirium Soccer Awards, highschoolrudyawards.com, inspiriumsoccerawards.com, a great partner with us here at the National High School Coaches Association and High School Football America, taking the time to go through all 24 finalists, 12 in football, 12 in soccer, and next up alphabetically is Tara McNaught from Lakewood, California.
Yeah, Tara's got a very interesting story as well, and actually just found out a little bit more about it, you know, last week before we announced the finalists. You know, here you are, teenage girl, supposed to be in the best years of your life, right? You know, for a lot of people, she's got cystic fibrosis. And then from that, because of the things that she has to do or endure through, or because of the fibrosis, she's also got a form of diabetes. And so this young lady has to do breathing treatments, is on medication. She has to endure a specific diet to help combat the diabetes. And, you know, again, soccer is a little bit different than football just because of the nonstop nature of the game. And I think about Tara and what she's had to endure with a special diet for one, and then the breathing and the fibrosis and all these things and how it affects your body and how she's able to go out there on the pitch and compete like she does. I think is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, and we're talking about this year's awards, but listeners, and if, you know, if you're a coach out there or a parent, athlete that knows somebody on the team, you know, let's start thinking about 2012 as well, because you know, there's more than just a couple of 100, 300, 400 good stories out there. So remember that to keep in touch by going to the website when nominations open up for next year. But back to this year, and Christian Metzler from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Yeah, one of two nominees, as funny as it may be, that we got from the two finalists from the state of Virginia. Christian's has got a great story. He's just an all-American kid. I love this kid in terms of what he does in the classroom, being a fantastic student, being a very competent goalkeeper. He's a mentor to young people, and didn't ever know it, Jeff, until a little while ago, that he was actually born with just one leg. He wears a prosthetic on the other, on one leg, and I apologize, I'm not sure which one it is, to be honest with you, but he's got a prosthetic, and, you know, again, it's this mentality, and I kind of think that's the overriding theme for both of these awards with both of these finalists, is they've both, all of these kids at some point have gotten to where they are now with this belief and this mentality of I'm not going to be stopped. Christian Metzler is a great example of that, and not using their situation as an aid or a device to be able to move on. They don't look at it as having a handicap. Christian Metzler doesn't look at himself as having a disability. It's that mindset that I just absolutely love.
Yeah, if you're having a bad day, folks out there, go to the websites here and check out some of these videos and read some of the bios. Like you said earlier, Byron, it's a real reality check on what's going out there. Now, you mentioned two from Virginia, and I'm not going to mess up her name on this one, so I'll let you give it a go, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure, Gayla Normile from Virginia Beach. And Gayla, unfortunately for her and her family, had a tragic loss when Gayla's youngest sibling died from a drowning accident. And so she has since taken that as that big of a negative in her family, for her individually and for her parents, and tried to turn it into a positive by putting on fundraising every year and raising awareness and doing things for other grieving families in the area that maybe have had a similar type situation as the Normile family. So again, just someone that's taken an extreme negative, turned it into a positive, and just trying to not only for her, but for other families in that area, and I think the world of that.
Yep, we're down to the final three. Another nominee from the hometown there for you guys, of the home state of Oregon, Sam Porter. She is the fifth of six nominees on the female side for this award.
Yeah, and another one from Oregon, like you said, and I think this story, in all reality, is a great example of what sport can do for you. I think they all are. I think the value of being able to play sport, regardless of what your sport is, and getting out there, I think is extremely important. In Sam's case, I think it's probably helped her through a lot of tough times. Sam's parents are not together, and unfortunately, Sam's mom has had to kind of move around to be able to make a living, and hasn't been there. Her father has battled his own issues with addiction and crime, but it's through the sport of soccer that kind of Sam has found her calling and really helped her deal with these issues. And now what she's doing is she's trying to take that same experience and parlay it to, in terms of volunteering with other kids in the area that maybe have had similar type situations. She's doing it as a volunteer coach now for young male and female players in the area. And I think Sam, because of this instability in her life, soccer is a great example to me, or she's a great example of how solidifying sport can be for you if you have some other things going on around you that maybe aren't so great.
Mm-hmm. Final female nominee, and I hope I get it right, and you'll fix me if I'm not, Maritza Valdespino, I believe, from Houston, Texas. Did I get that right?
That's great. That's great, Jeff.
You're I'm getting better.
You're getting better. There's no question Maritza is the last female nominee. And she, and actually our next nominee, Gonzalo here, kind of had similar stories in terms of where they live, where their school is located, and what they individually have had to do. The one difference between Maritza and Gonzalo is that Maritza has always been kind of that person that is a high achiever, that is doing things above and beyond what other kids in her community are doing. You go to her page, you go to the website, the Inspiring Soccer Awards website, and you go to her page and you read stories about how some of her teammates at 16 and 17 are not being able to play or have to sit off the season because, unfortunately, a teammate is pregnant. And so the only reason I say that is because that kind of paints the picture of the area that she's in, and some of the hardships that she's had to endure with the gangs and the low education rates in this part of Houston. And Maritza is a great example. If I'm not mistaken, she's on her way to Texas A&M next year, and I know that that's a huge accomplishment for her and for people in the school, and we're thrilled that she's one of the 12 finalists.
Yeah, her nickname is Robot. I could have gone with that, but we decided
that
would have been the easy way out. And then you started talking about Gonzalo Vasquez from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, so tell us a little bit about him. He is the final one as we go alphabetically through the awards on the soccer side.
Yeah, Gonzalo's got a similar situation to Maritza in terms of the school itself and the crime rates, if you will, the area around where the school is, the kind of gang-filled areas. And the difference between Gonzalo and Maritza was on that kind of that straight and narrow path from the very beginning, and yet she was that shining light in kind of the bad area. Gonzalo's story is the exact opposite. He was the stereotypical kid living in that poor part of town or that bad part of town, running with the gangs and doing all the bad things and being a knucklehead, so to speak. And Gonzalo, I give all the credit in the world to, because I can't imagine how tough this would be. He completely did a 180, turned himself around, fantastic student now, team captain, volunteers in the community, works part-time to help support his family, just for whatever reason, just totally figured it out and went the exact opposite direction. And he where he started off on that bad path has now gone on to the right path, is in a shining light there in the town, in his community. And he is, I guess he's a good one to end on as our 12th and final finalist who's going through this alphabetically. Gonzalo to me is another one of those kids that I think resonates a little bit with me just because I've been in some of those areas, not necessarily in Oklahoma City, but some other parts across the country. And I know how tough that must have been to be able to pull yourself out of that with the peer pressure and everything that was going on. So Gonzalo, we're very proud to have him as a finalist.
Yeah, on a personal note, again, I've had these situations in South Central L.A. We mentor a couple of boys here on the west side of Chicago and have seen that same exact story and really recognizing when the boys talk about what it's like to be approached by gangs and all that and having the guts at, you know, 13 through 15 to say no is kind of amazing. But, you know, it's been amazing to go through this whole list here. So, Byron, let's kind of, as we wrap up here, let the listeners know how they can get involved. Aside from just going to the websites and checking out these the biographies and the videos?
Sure. Well, as far as the football is concerned, you go to highschoolfootballrudywards.com, and we've got until January 3rd is when we announce the finalists. Excuse me, that's the Soccer Awards, Jeff. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
SoccerAwards.com. Yep, and we announce the finalists here on our website on January 3rd. And like you've been saying, you can go to the website, you can read stories, you can look at videos, you can cast your vote, you can make Facebook comments on the site, you can post things to your own Facebook wall if you wanted to. So it's just a very, we're trying to make it a little bit more interactive, and I think we've done a pretty good job with that. And then as far as the High School Football Rudy Awards are concerned, highschoolrudyawards.com, same kind of premise. Go to the website, check out their stories, watch videos. We actually have a contest within the contest going on right now, a video contest. So there's going to be some videos that you could vote on there as well. We will announce the winners for the Rudy Awards on January 15th. And, you know, like I said, like we've been talking a little bit about here for, you know, the Troy Aikmans and the Andrea Kramers of the world that are on our selection committee, I'm just glad that they're having to do it and not us.
Yeah, absolutely. And while you were talking about the Facebook and the interactivity there, I think it'd be kind of cool as we go into the holiday season, somebody's having a bad day or something, you ought to kind of put it out in your Facebook, read this story or watch this video.
Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of a cool way to pick up during some tough times here. Byron Jensen from the High School Rudy Awards and Sperium Soccer Awards, thank you so much. As always, I know we'll have you back on the show here and over the next couple of weeks during the holidays. We're going to get some of these kids on the show here to kind of showcase what they're doing. But thank you for what you guys are doing with the awards, and have a great holiday season.
Hey, thanks so much, Jeff. Happy holidays to you as well.
Absolutely. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little wrestling and a little high school football. That and more. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artists First Radio Network.
The Navy Seahawk helicopter has a lift capacity of over 6,000 pounds. But when it comes to helping those around the world who need it most, they lift the hopes of millions. To learn more about how the Navy is the best place to do great things, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. It will do you and the world a load of good. Navy. Accelerate your life. The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top-secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Back here on the NHSCA Sports Hour, glad you're along for the ride tonight. That was just a great conversation with Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards. Some wonderful, wonderful stories that go away from the playing field and the soccer pitch. And again, go to highschoolrudyawards.com or inspiriumsoccerawards.com, and you'll be able to read more about each and every one of the athletes' bios. Plus, you'll also have an opportunity opportunity to look at some videos. So just a great thing, and look forward to announcing the finalists at the beginning of next year, which is just around the corner. And speaking of just around the corner, as the winter sports season is underway, and we're going to talk about the Walsh Jesuit Ironman in just a little bit, which was the first big showdown on the chase for a national championship this year. And speaking of that, we want to talk about the 11th annual NHSCA Final Four. The National High School Coaches Association has been bringing together for 11 years now the top teams from around the country in a dual meet format to figure out who's number one. And well, we talked about it last week. Blair Academy ranked number two in Win Magazine's preseason rankings. Ahead of them is St. Edward, but those two met in the Ironman, and we'll talk about what happened there. But we've got eight teams registered so far for the 11th Annual National High School Coaches Association Final Four, which will be held on the 21st of January in 2012. Eight teams are registered so far, and we've got Blair Academy, the number two team in the nation. Some polls have them number one from New Jersey, from Blairstown. They will be there. Collins Hill, a very good program from Georgia, is in the fold, along with Council Rock South from Pennsylvania. Three other Pennsylvania teams that are in the Final Four: Delaware Valley from Pennsylvania, Easton, which is the host school. They will have the event at the Shawnee Middle School. And then the other Pennsylvania team, another nationally ranked team, Wyoming Seminary, is in the fold for this one. And then there is a team from Massachusetts and a team from Virginia. From Massachusetts, we'll have Franklin High School. And then from Virginia, we'll have J.W. Robinson. Again, the NHSCA Final Four, the 11th annual, will be held January the 21st in Easton, Pennsylvania. So really, really looking forward to that. We also want to remind you about the Wrestling Festival that will also be held just before that at Pleasant Valley High School. Just outside the Poconos. Well, actually, it's in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. It's been held at Pleasant Valley High School for several years running, and we want to tell you a little bit about that event, which will be taking place on the 14th of January. It's also our 11th annual wrestling festival with teams from around the country, most of them being from the Northeast, but teams are guaranteed five matches in this one. And we want to tell you a little bit about who's going to be there, because the defending champ, Blair Academy, you'll get a real good chance to see the top team in the country, or one of the top two teams in the country, over a two-week period in the Pennsylvania area, Eastern Pennsylvania. They are in the fold. Several other very good New Jersey wrestling powers will be at the wrestling festival at Pleasant Valley High School, also from New Jersey, Bergen Catholic. There's Don Bosco Prep, Long Branch, and that's it as far as the New Jersey schools. Pennsylvania schools, a lot of good ones in the mix. Benton from Pennsylvania, also there, Cedar Cliff, Central Bucks South, Central Bucks West, East Stroudsburg South, Germantown Academy, Mifflinburg, Northampton, an always strong team, Palisades rounds out the Pennsylvania contingent, and then we've got some other states in the mix. Framingham from Massachusetts, along with Springfield Central from Massachusetts, will be at the tournament. Forgot to mention one school from Pennsylvania. Souderton will be there from New Hampshire. Timberlane back for another year. St. Edward, yes, the powerhouse from Ohio there. So we're going to get another look at how Blair Academy and St. Edward stacks up. And speaking of that, let's take a look at the Walsh Jesuit tournament that was held last weekend in Ohio. Again, depending on the poll you look at, and we here take a look at Win Magazine's rankings. In the preseason poll, it was St. Edward number one, Blair Academy number two. And after last week's Ironman, well, Blair Academy won the tournament, so there's a good chance that they may flip-flop. Blair Academy scoring 252.5 points to St. Edward's 240.5 points. We'll round out the top 10 for you there, as St. Paris Graham of Ohio had third place knocked down with 167 points. Number four, Wyoming Seminary, we talked about them in the Final Four, coming in fourth place with 128 points. Moeller from Ohio finishes fifth. Number six is Bethlehem Catholic from Pennsylvania. Seven was Christiansburg from Virginia. Eight was Broken Arrow from Oklahoma. And Massillon Perry from Ohio finishes ninth. Collins Hill, again, a team that will be in the Final Four at the NHSCA 11th Annual Final Four in Easton in January, rounds out to everything as they finished 10th. Basically, the difference between St. Edward and Blair Academy: Blair Academy had three champs and placed 13 of its 14 wrestlers, and that's what gave them the edge to win it. As far as St. Edward, they came up with two champs along the way, and they, again, lost by 12 points, and Blair wins its third Ironman title in 4 years. So again, we probably will see some flip-flopping when it comes down to the national rankings from Wynn Magazine. In all, St. Edward crowning two champs, including a two-time defending champ in the state of Ohio, Dean Heil. Want to remind you also this weekend, a big tournament out in Reno, the Tournament of Champions. That's a real good one. Lots of quality teams in the fold for that one. So wrestling season, well on its way. And remember, go to NHSCA.com to check out the 11th annual NHSCA Wrestling Festival, which will be held on the 14th of January at Pleasant Valley High School in Pennsylvania. And then the following week, the 21st, will be the 11th annual NHSCA Final Four, as Blair Academy will again get a chance to go at it and prove why they should be number one. The week before, you know, St. Edward and Blair Academy will go at it again. So lots of things still have to happen before we crown a national champ in wrestling this year. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the state football championships. The curtain coming down on the 2011 season, but plenty of gold to be handed out this weekend as California, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Texas hold their state championships in football. And don't forget, we're also going to tell you about who we have coming up on High School Football America at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock, so stick around for that. Take a break. When we come back, high school football. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
Do not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Welcome to the Artist First Network, a weekly program featuring the best independent artists anywhere.
Damn it, get the hell out of my kitchen.
Just hit the Artist First Network. Now you're going to jail for assault.
This is the Artist First Network, the network of independent artists. Each week, the Artist First Network brings you the newest and brightest of independent and undiscovered artists.
Hi, the latest project was recorded. I can get through this. Can we keep it rolling?
Hi. Next cut is called Baby, You're So Hot. He cut. Damn it, Jim. All right, here, give me another crack at that one. Quit laughing at me.
Where's the web? I told you. www.artistfirst.com.
Welcome to the Artist First Network.
Well, we're coming down the home stretch here for the NHSCA Sports Hour for this evening. Glad you've been along for the ride. We want to thank Byron Jensen from the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards for coming in to talk about the 12 finalists. But before we go, we want to talk about the final week of 2011 high school football season. Yes, everything comes to a close. Only four states are playing, but it's kind of like the final four because there are four big ones as California, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Texas all crown their state champs this weekend. Again, coming up in just a little bit of time, we're going to switch things over to High School Football America. Want to let you know who we're going to have on that show because we have a dandy in that. We will have Steve Spiewak from Max Preps. He will come in to take a look at the national championship chase, plus also look at all the state championship games, talking about the big matchups, especially in those big classifications in those four states. Also on the show tonight, we will have Tom Nola. He is the head coach at Clareton High School in Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh. His team has won 46 straight. They're going for their third straight state championship, and they're also going to be battling a team in Class 1A that's been one of the best for a long time. So this is going to really kind of go a long way to figuring out which one of these two teams is the best 1A team over the last 22 years that they've held state championships in Pennsylvania. They Clareton Bears will be taking on Southern Columbia. Southern Columbia looking for a record 7th state championship. They have played in 13 of the 22 state championships. Just a fine program. Clareton again on that long win streak. Both teams score a lot of points, both being over 600 this year, and both have pretty stingy defenses. There's also three other matchups there, but coming up, Tom Nola of Clareton on the High School Football America show. Also on the show tonight, we'll talk with Jim Benkert. Benkert is the head coach at Westlake High School in California. They are playing for the Open Division Championship in California, taking on that dynasty known as De La Salle, which at one point had won 151 straight games. But Jim Benkert will talk about the task of taking on a dynasty and trying to win a California state championship. We'll also talk with Hal Wasson of Southlake Carroll High School in Texas. Southlake Carroll looking for a record-tying 8th state championship for the Dragons, and Hal will be along to talk about that. Lots of big things going on in Florida as they will crown their 4 champs, and in that category there, you'll see probably the biggest matchup is in 6A as Florida has expanded its state championships. Used to be it that it handed out championships through 6A. They've added a couple of categories, 7 and 8A. But the big one in 6A, it's a rematch as Armwood out of Sefner, Florida, will take a very good team, Miami Central. Both teams ranked in Max Prep's top 25, and they will meet in the championship game. And I think I said 6A. It should be 7A, where those two will meet on Saturday at 1 o'clock to really decide the bragging rights. Also at the top of the food chain, they're looking for some love out of which is the best team in the state of Florida is Miramar. Miramar is a team that will play for the 8A championship, and they're ranked number 3 by Max Preps currently. So again, a lot of high school football to go in the big 4 states, and you can check out High School Football America just in a few minutes here as we will give you a preview of all of the big games from around the country as the curtain falls with California, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Texas closing out the 2011 high school football season, and what a season it's been. Want to thank our sponsors for tonight's show, XC Nation, crosscountrynation.com, your number one source. It's the premier website for all that is cross country in America with its national rankings. We had Aaron Taylor on last week's show. If you missed that show, you can go back into our archives, go to artistfirst.com, click on NHSCA Sports Hour, and you'll be able to see all of the shows that we've had here on the NHSCA Sports Hour over the course of the last 6 years. Also along for the ride as a sponsor tonight, Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G Series, GTM Sportswear, U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, MetLife, Dalamuir, and All American Wrestling Support. Apply. Want to thank Corey back in Ohio for keeping everything running very smoothly. We'll be back with another show next Thursday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Until then, this is Jeff Fisher saying good night and good sports. You've been listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.